ہاتھوں سے تو نے اپنے دفنائے کتنے مردے, دفنائے کتنے مردے. انجام
مارکس صحابہ, the voice of اہل سنہ والجماعہ.
السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. Once again, ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum to this edition of the Coffee Express, coming to you live and exclusively from the studios of Markaz Sahaba Online, Sawtu Ahli Sunnah wal Jama'a, the voice of the Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'a in Durban, South Africa. Alhamdulillah, we have just heard our segment on Palestine. We now connect with Brother Ahmad Tariq, and inshallah the discussion will be about some issues related to kafan and dafan, if there are any new developments. And thereafter we get into our local politics. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Brother Ahmad Tariq.
وعلیکم السلام ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. اہلاً وسہلاً ٹو آل اور ریڈیو لسنرز آن اے بیوٹیفل شائنی سیٹرڈے مارننگ. مولانا الحمد للہ, اللہ ہیز بلیسڈ اس ود انادر فائن ڈے. مولانا, آلسو وین یو ہیئر دی نشید, دے سیڈ ان دی نشید ہاؤ مینی جنازاز وی ہیو وٹنسڈ اینڈ واٹ وی آر سیئنگ ٹوڈے. وی سی اوور اینڈ اوور جنازہ آن جنازہ, وی گو ٹو جنازہ نماز, وی گو ٹو دی گریو یارڈ. And a very close friend of mine spoke to me this week, and he told me that, you know what, whenever he has worries, he has issues or anything, what he does is gets into his car, he goes to the Kabristan, go and make dua there for all the marhums, take it easy there, and he comes out. When he comes out there, he says, you know what, he forgot, no worries, everything has gone.
MashaAllah. Definitely, you know, ala bi dhikri llahi tatma'innul qulub. Behold, with the remembrance of Allahu Azza wa Jalla, the hearts become, you know, the hearts get itmi'inan, they become at peace again. So going to the graveyard definitely makes you think about Allahu Azza wa Jalla and the akhirah. That is why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you know, visit the graves, because it reminds you about the Akhirah, and in the Akhirah you meet Allahu Azza wa Jalla. Any new developments regarding our kafan and dafan issues?
Mawlana, alhamdulillah, at the moment things are very quiet, everything is fine, and in fact over the festive season too there was no major issues or anything like that. Alhamdulillah, Allah's blessed us, especially in this province. Compared to all the other provinces, we didn't have any issues or anything, but alhamdulillah, Allah made it easy. And whatever issue there was at the morgue level too, we have already ironed that off, ironed it out completely, and you know, things are happening with that. So alhamdulillah, we must make shukar that what we got in this country, Mawlana, you won't get it anywhere else in the world. You can get release of bodies from the mortuary. The systems we have put in place in other countries, where even if you are a Muslim living in the country, but you'll have to put your body in a coffin and then bury it. So alhamdulillah, Allah blessed us, especially in South Africa. We got right of religion, right of culture in this country, Mawlana.
Most definitely, you know, we have one of the most relaxed constitutions. Now, our first issue that's worrying the community is ESCOM's plan to implement 36-hour power outage. There's an article that ESCOM is set to implement 36-hour power outage in KZN. ESCOM will conduct planned maintenance in KwaZulu-Natal for 3 weekends and Mondays, resulting in power outage. ESCOM will conduct planned maintenance in the Mpumalanga substation under the Itkweni municipality, resulting in a 36-hour power outage over multiple weekends. Now, this has really got people worried, because, you know, weekends is a time when they are at home and they need that power. Can you just shed some light on, you know, what, how is this actually going to be implemented?
First and foremost, what we need to take into account. You know, when the main load shedding was taking place, there was massive pressure from the community, from the businesses and all the routine businesses, a lot of businesses closed and everything. So what they did at that time, Molana, was they did a packed job and making sure that everyone, that was the directive from national government to get power, whatever it takes. And we bought power from the outlying countries as well. So we got the system running. Now the time has come for us to start maintaining the system. Now, if you don't maintain your service station, or if like your car, if you got a warranty, it tells the light comes on, you have to go do the service. Otherwise, what happens? Other parts start giving in and out. It's the same thing in the electricity, in water, in everything in government as well. Because of our non-maintainers, we were in a dilemma where we had load shedding. Now, in this issue here, load shedding is going to take place, they say 36, but in actual fact, it won't be 36. It has come before council and to say that, you know what, they have to do renovations, they have to do maintenance of these things. So there will be, you know, like if you got on a Sunday, maybe 4 or 5 hours, you might have load shedding for that part. Once they have fixed up the one components of the substation, they will put it on. And then what happens is when we're doing this now, this is the biggest problem that we have faced for now. When you do maintenance, now when you finish the maintenance for that day, and when you're putting on the electricity, you know what voltage is going from that power station into those cables and to supply all the houses and industries. Now, if you got anywhere there's a crack or a hairline crack or anything, if the cables are bruised or anything, if that sparks underground, then we got a problem. Like what we had recently in Musgrave area. For 2 days, we were battling, but eventually they did same on. They had to replace. Now they cut and they join. Now all these joints, they're not, it caused problem as well. Now, when they put it on again, sometimes from the joints, it blows up again. So this is the biggest problem when you're doing maintenance, and these are very, very old cables. Now, eventually, any old cables and all has to perish. You will give in somewhere along the line. So that is the only downside of this whole thing. So it will be two sides you want to be, the two-side problem you have. One side is the when they're doing the maintenance, and when they put it on, you might have for another couple of hours but the maintenance was done, but you got a problem with the cable issue. So that might be a problem. But they have got it under control. One department, alhamdulillah, all I can say, from Ikigini, they have jacked it up such a way to a such a level that, you know what, they will try to avoid load shedding, because what they have realized, how much of business, how much of job losses this load shedding took place when we were full-blown load shedding. So alhamdulillah, as far as that is concerned, they are on top of it. Even now too, when they're doing this maintenance, they're making sure that they have got everything. They can't go on a maintenance and they don't have spares and all. So there is a system in place as far as this is concerned, because we do overview of this electricity, water and all. We are checking what is happening, because we don't want the community come and jump at us and to say that, you know what, you all told us 36, now it's gone to 50 hours or 48 hours and all that. That is it. But as far as this is concerned, it will work on a gradual pace. It might not be for the whole day, depending when they're doing the maintenance. They might find something else, then it might be a problem. That I can't give anyone guarantee on that one.
So this is not going to happen like zone by zone, you know, like the way the load shedding was. The whole of Durban, for example, will be, you know, out of power for that period of time.
No, no, Maulana, it won't be. You see, now we are talking in the Mampapuranga substation. They only want to work in that. Then you've got Reservoir Hills substation. They want to work in that. They're not going to work in the entire. That is, Eskom is involved in with the city. Yeah, is the joint venture is between Eskom and the city. They've been, you can say zone by zone, they want to do all the substation. That's where maintenance is going to be taking place.
Now, coming to our next issue, the Itikweni municipality intends entering into a three-year partnership with the Itala Development Finance Corporation, that is the IDFC, on various small, micro, and medium enterprises, SMMEs, development intervention. Now, what we read in that article that relates to this, at a full council meeting in December, the municipality stated that both parties intend to cooperate with each other to support SMMEs and with financial and non-financial support services, and to continue with the long-term relationship between the parties. Now, one of the things that are mentioned here is non-financial support. What forms of non-financial support would they be offering?
Well, Anna, first and foremost, Itala Bank is part and parcel of the government. In this case here, firstly, you will read in the press, the national television, that the for non-compliance, the Peter Maritzburg High Court. Now, you must understand, right, on this year, now, because Itala is technically, they can say, alleged to be insolvent. They're not insolvent or anything. If you go to SATA, you go into all the so-called, you know, in the old government,
influx control
areas and the food factories and all that. All those factories and all that is owned by Itala. So they are the recipient and they are the landlord for those properties. Because I remember when I was there about maybe 10 years ago in SATA, I had a factory. And everything Itala does, you know, the maintenance of the building, electricity, they charge you, water, everything, and they own the building. So as far as assets is concerned, they got more than enough assets. So they're not insolvent anymore. But because of the major banks, now, you know, when you don't comply in terms of the act and you haven't got your license in order or anything, the major banks will start jumping at it, because end of the day, they are losing business to Itala Bank. And now Itala Bank is also helping all the smaller companies and all that, SSMEs and all that. Now, it came before the full council in December, and I was there at that meeting. They want to do an MOU between the two parties, the city as well as Itala. Itala is saying, you give me 10 rand. Itala is saying, you give me 10 rand from the city, I will give you 10 rand. So, rand for a rand. So they are prepared to put over 3 years, 20 million each year. So it works out to 60 million. And the city must give to bolster the SSME's job creation. And the non-core, what you said was, they will assist in that. They have got the factory space. They got land available in SATA, all over, wherever they are. They have got. So they will assist them in that, in a long-term, these sort of things, for farms or factories, whatever you want to do, in that they will be able to assist them. And also financial support, you get it via the two entities when we're doing the MOU. This money has not been released from the city yet. Only thing, it was brought to us for an MOU to say, this is the rent for a rent. Are we going to approve it? We said yes, because end of the day, we're looking for job creation, and that's how we said it would be fine. And yes, it was voted that the city must be able to give them 20 million, and they would put 20 million. Now the uproar is now, while the city must put in 20 million, they are technically insolvent. They're not insolvent or anything like that. So it will come out in the open. Just now they will sort this matter out, and hoping me, for everybody's sake, this matter must be settled as quickly as possible, because the community is going to benefit here. That is going to be the big plus factor, because if you go to Kitala Bank, they're not like the normal commercial bank and all that. They'll do a due diligence. But if you do a proper proposal and say you got an idea, and they will back you up and then monitor that idea over a 3 to 6 month period and let you progress in that idea of yours and start employing people. That's what they do.
Now, one of the counselors, I think it's a DA counselor, who said, let us not mistake intentions for outcomes. Allocating funds alone is not sufficient. We must ensure that every rand spent delivers tangible, meaningful results for the people we serve. Now the question arises, would they have the capacity to monitor these SMMEs they fund and ensure that there is development and progress? You know, when we look at other issues like reading electricity and, I mean, water meters, and going and checking on spaza shops whether they have goods that are old stock, are things that they cannot manage. Are they going to be able to manage this?
Yeah, well, first on the issue of Itala Bank, if you look at the infrastructure, because I dealt with them for many years in Sekeba, they have got a fully fledged infrastructure in terms of how they operate. They operate on, you know, if you don't pay the rental in time and all that, they give you 1 month, they send you a demand. The following month, they will hand it over, and by the third month, if you haven't paid, they will come and close you up. That's how they are. They run a very stringent business, and okay, fine. In every business, because the other bigger banks are taking a beating as well, because they are much cheaper than the other commercial banks as well. So that's where the problem is. But as far as the capacity is concerned, if we are putting money in the city, we will also have to put our own members to assist, because it's going to be a JV, a joint venture between the two parties. So obviously we have to protect our 20 million, they'll have to protect their 20 million. And in fact, if the way they are working and the system that Itala Bank has got, that's how they do their due diligence and how they assist, I think this thing can work, providing that we make sure from the city we have got our right people there as well to make this thing work for us. Then, Morana, also, you know, I was in my committee meeting from MPA. I just want to update you, you know, so some issues that were brought to us, you know, especially the water issue. Now, you know, in the city, there's three major problems that we have. One is the electricity, two is the potholes, the roads, and the third one is the main one that is everyone, the outcry every single day is about the water issue. Now, we're coming to the tankers, and this, we brought it, I moved on Thursday, we bring it to the full council too. 344 tankers, Molana. Listen to this very carefully, Molana. Only 109 is on the road, meaning they can go to the depot, pick up water, and give it to the community. 69 of the vehicle is sitting in the workshop. So that makes 166 we hire tankers. Now, recently you saw, and you brought it to our listeners' attention, we secured another 100 water tankers. From that, we only receive about 34 so far. As of Wednesday, we only receive the balance we get by the end of February. The question is now, why do we have to hire, outsource and hire tankers, number one? Secondly, the city made one very big mistake. When they secured the 100 tankers, they already took out from their fleet 100 tankers, but they didn't take out the 166. Why do you take out from your fleet when you know when you can get rid of the hired one? Because now you're paying for the hired one. So this, we brought it very, very hard on Thursday in my committee meeting, and I'm bringing it before council on the 30th as well. So we got water tankers. Now what we are trying to do at the moment is to get rid of that mafia syndicate where that, you know, that 166 what we hiring. So those people will be eliminated. And you see what the Premier of KZN has already started implementing. He doesn't want any more outsourcing. And we all agree with that, and me, my party agree, and everyone agree. This outsource is the biggest corruption maker, and this is the biggest problem that the city is facing. Because 1 rand stuff, they're charging 10 rand, 100 rand stuff, they're charging 1,200 rand. So that will be eliminated. So we want in-house. Hospital security, in-house. Plumbers, in-house. Electrician, in-house. Road, in-house. Everything we're trying to bring in-house. So cut this outsourcing out and employ our own people like in the old days what they had. And that's where you want to get our services. And that's where we are moving at the moment. This is just one issue on the road, on the water side. Now, I also brought, because what they do is, when we have our MPAC, they bring all the head of department. We interrogate them. What happened here? What happened here? This is what also has come up. The head of water, we are saying to him, we're losing water. 50, you say 54%. Okay, fine. Then we lose. Why is the turnaround for water taking so long to get it fixed? So we asked him that question. The problem, firstly, the 54%, what we 54.5%, what we are talking about, in actual fact, that water loss is not 54%. It's actually about 25% we're losing water. You know, all the, you'll find all over the leaks on the roads, and they're spilling the meters, and all that is about 25%. The balance of it is non-revenue. The people are stealing the water from us, and the people are not paying from us, paying to the city. And the bad debts on the accounts and all. So that has come to 55.5%. So I told them, no, you can't mix two things together. Revenue is separate. Water loss, you give separate to the community. Now you're telling the whole community you're losing 55% water. So they bring the roof down on you. So give the proper information to the community, the people understand where we are going. That's on the water issue. Secondly, all departments put together, we have got from 2018 to now 22 fraud cases. It's hitting with SAP. We interrogated the CIIU, the head of CIIU, the head of the CIIU with the investigating unit, in-house investigation. We are saying to him, why are these cases have not been brought? Is there by steps? None of them, from my knowledge, has been convicted. Because once you start convicting one, two, three, four people, the whole city will come to, they will understand. And secondly, with the Supreme Court of Appeal, High Court case, you are personally liable for any wrongdoing. So start implementing it. We'll change the city up in no time. So that is another issue. So this, we say now for the next meeting in February, we want to meet with the commercial of police. We want to say there's 22 cases from 2017. Give us a report where you all are, why these people have not been convicted yet. So I think there's somewhere along the line, they're putting under file 13 and they're keeping quiet. They think we've forgotten about it. When we asked for this report, I've got this report by me. As I'm speaking, it's right in front of me. So I'm asking, CIIU gave us the report. I'm asking SAP, why these people have not been convicted yet? We want to know. And if they can't be, we go to national. We want to say, there's it here. There's a report from CIIU. There's a report from SAPS here, from commercial or police case again. You intervene, and we want these people to be convicted. So this is where we are at the moment, Bolana.
Coming back to this MOU with the Memorandum of Understanding with Itala, the same councillor says another concern was the pervasive lack of accessibility and transparency surrounding funding. She said far too many entrepreneurs, especially young people with innovative ideas, are being excluded from the opportunities. Now, regarding this, how is the municipality or Itala going to create awareness of these funds? You know, so much so, knowledge of the availability of these funds reach all sectors of society.
This week alone, I did maybe about 5-6 bursaries for students and all that. Now, where I especially specialize in, if you got anybody as well, anybody is disabled and has got the potential to go to university or anything, you can send them by me. I will do the application. I'll get them the bursary because those are the ones, you know what, Allah has taken something away from them. But the knowledge and they have got, Molana, is unbelievable. If you got one day, you got time, I'll take you to one school in Glenwood. Yeah, they call it the open air school. Molana, when you see that school, if you don't try, there's something is wrong. But I'll tell you, there is one student, we made a special keyboard, has got no hand, has got problem with hearing, and we had to, there's no hand, and only got legs. And we have made a keyboard, we put it on the floor, and she types from there. Well, now, when you see that, it's something that is unbelievable how fast she types from on over the toes. So, you know, things like that, if you got, send them to me. I'm prepared to help. Now, the problem is, you know, I deal with a lot of youth, you know, to empower them. What is our biggest problem? You know, these youngsters and all, they got brilliant ideas and all, but they don't know how to implement that thing. You see, when you go to government or you go to bank or any funder, he wants to see your plan. He wants to see your proposal. And that's where they're lacking. Now, by the opposition party and all things, we're not assisting the youths and all that. The Itigwini municipality, Itala Bank, and various other banks, and Itigwini municipality has got special funds to assist youth and all that. But when you don't bring proper information, you can't get, because if you don't give information, you won't be able to extend the knowledge what you got practically and all that. You have to have it in paper. Then you know you're going step by step. It's like a checklist. That is where everybody's falling. So I'm saying to our community, and I told you to get a municipality, put a team together with, you know, retired professors or something, like the way we can agreed on a TV basis. We can get Itigwini municipality has got a lot of calls. Bring them there and show them how to do their proposals, how then to present their case, because you bring them before the committee, you must be able to talk from the proposal office, and that's how you get your loans and everything, and they're prepared to look, they assist you. That's where we are. That's where we're falling short. That's the area. So people are saying, you know what, when we're sending something to the council or to the bankers or the funders, they're not giving us. But if you haven't put your proposal properly, you haven't put your paperwork properly, you're not going to get it. Some of them, I see the paperwork come before me too sometimes. I see there's no ID number. They gave wrong cell number. We want to contact them. We can't contact them. That is the issue we are facing.
Now, going further with this issue, the same counselor states there are too many barriers, complex application processes, bureaucratic red tape, an opaque system that appears to benefit only a select few. Now, you know, would you agree with this?
Well, you know, if I want to bring... You got a madrasa, and I know you. Ahmed Parafon, Molana, I got this curly light here of mine. I know you, so see what you can do. You know, you scratch my back, I scratch your back. In council, it happened. And then if you take that, there's one hospital we recently opened. Well, 6 months we couldn't open because all the councillors and all the top rakis there, they were only bringing their own people in there. So we said no. How are these things have been checked up? You can't just bring anybody riffraff and all that. They say, no, this will do cleaning, that one will do that. No, So with that, we stopped that too. I don't want to mention the name of the hospital, but this is the problem that we are faced with. Now, you encounter too, you know, when you come to the committee, you might know somebody and all. Sometimes they don't have, they got 90% or 80% paperwork done properly, and they'll overlook it. And because, you know, the committee talks to themselves, and, you know, that's how it sometimes works in council too. You know, job for pals, sometimes they overlook a few things and they do it. So that's where the problem is. It's not an independent body or anything. They make the submission, and that's, those are the numbers who go, and that's it, finished. So in council, you will find that they'll try and may bring their own kind in, own connection team, and this is what happens.
Now, what we would do is just go through this electricity thing. There's some other issues also that has come up. Now, we know the Itikweni Municipality Electricity Unit stated that in order to avoid civil unrest, the city needed to find 426,500 urgently to undertake outstanding corrective and reactive maintenance. In a report presented to the Itikweni full council meeting, the electricity unit warned that the failure to provide a sustainable electricity supply could lead to potential health, safety hazards, as well as civil unrest. The unit also warned that during protests, infrastructure, including that of electrical units, is damaged. Now, the question arises, who is withholding the funds that they are asking for, and why are they withholding the funds?
Now, you see, 31st of July, our books close. We get 65 billion funding from the city. That's from our revenue, and everything. 65 billion we get from national government and all. Then we get, on top of that, we get grant in aid from national government, provincial government comes in. Now, if you don't utilize, especially, and I've got proof of it, that we had to send back, national government has taken our money from the 2022 disaster, water, you know, flood disasters. That money had to be returned back to national government because we never utilized it. So they monitor, when they give you a grant, they monitor what money has been given to the city, and if you haven't used it, they take it back. Now, in this, after the 31st, then a budget is being done for electricity and various, the full entire parks and garden, beaches, everything, civic halls, electricity, water, roads, all the infrastructure budget has been done, so much. Health and safety, disaster, everything is there. Now, if they don't put the numbers what they have to put in there, then in between, we take money from another department to assist this department. And it happens because it comes before council, and then we also do that. So there is a buffer fund. You know, I must say, the city is healthy at the moment. We got 8 billion in investment at the bank, cash money, We got for the next 6 months, we don't have to worry. We got enough money to sustain ourselves. That's it. And July will be here, we'll get another 65 billion coming in. So they didn't do the electricity department, that department didn't do the budget properly for this maintenance or whatever they want to do. That's where the issue is. Now, there is money available because Treasury gave us the report on Thursday. We know there is money. So there shouldn't be any problem or anything in terms of getting that money released from Treasury to fix that 450 million, whatever. But that can be released. It shouldn't be a problem. Providing that everything has been done accordingly, it will come before council again. And council will have to approve it because at the end of the day, we want this thing to be done.
Okay, Jazakumullah for your time. We went a bit beyond time, but that's no problem. Inshallah, you would get the podcast during the course of the day. Once again, Jazakumullah Khair Al Jaza for the valuable information that you share with us and your valuable time on a Saturday morning. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. That was Brother Ahmad Parak, who is a local counselor and also quite involved in the affairs of the Burial Society of the Muslim Community.